Galesburg's Evening News, I'm Cameron Line. Obviously, there's a lot to be concerned about for local nonprofits. The funding has been a little wacky. I mean, a lot of grants have been available. I think a lot of community members have been very generous. Nonetheless, you could see how there might be some financial strain on them. Of course, a lot of nonprofits have shifted their services quite a bit, like V&A Community Services comes to mind. Of course, the Knox County YMCA was closed for, I believe, several months, just reopening not too long ago. Given all that nonprofits are going through, an invaluable resource as always has been the Galesburg Community Foundation. They've also announced a couple developments as far as their grants and funding opportunities for nonprofits this week. So I invited in Josh Gibb, the executive director of the Galesburg Community Foundation, to talk about what they've been able to do to give nonprofits a helping hand.
Why don't we talk a little bit about the turnout grant cycle and kind of what you guys are doing this year to change things up and to make sure that nonprofits are in a good position.
Yeah, great. Happy to chat. Thanks for letting me come in and talk today. So our turnout cycle, for those that have been familiar with it, is a really kind of one-on-one, very close process. Our donor advisors come, they meet grantees, our grantees come and make presentations. You know, for a lot of reasons, we just didn't feel like it made sense to really invest in that process, not knowing what kind of the September, October timeframe would look like.
Mm-hmm.
More importantly, though, you know, we just don't even realize or don't even know if the nonprofits would be prepared to make a real solid programmatic ask at that point, because everything's changing in the landscape, who they're serving, how they're serving, the ways in which they're serving. So what the Community Foundation did is we looked backwards to last year's grant portfolio and we said, those are organizations that we have given to really regularly. Let's just proactively send resources to them, trusting and knowing that those organizations could use the money now, don't need to go through the grant application process because, you know, very likely we would have made an award to them. And then as well, trusting that they're going to be creative, innovative, and responsive to the needs of their mission and to the people that they're serving within their mission. So we really decided that that would be an approach that would be well received and appreciated, you know, during a lot of uncertainty.
Would you say that this would provide nonprofits a little more flexibility since they're not sure what their services might look like?
We certainly think that it provides flexibility in the way they'll deliver service. We don't think it provides flexibility in their services.
Mm-hmm.
You know, certainly, you know, right now we've had to be creative, or nonprofits have had to be creative with how food is being delivered. I think that that's an example that we can look at and be really inspired by. I actually believe that people are being better fed right now. Because there's been some great partnerships between organizations who see that food is an issue and have kind of come together in organic ways to make sure that everybody has food. Food's being delivered from Fish Food Pantry. Meals are being delivered to children daily. Shelf-stable meals are being delivered to seniors in two-week processes, and that comes from, you know, four or five different organizations joining together. Well, there isn't necessarily had no one could have predicted that they needed resources to really be able to get that done. But again, mm-hmm. because the Community Foundation and our donors trust that nonprofits are going to be able to see those opportunities and respond to those opportunities, yeah, that these are very flexible dollars, knowing that they'll end up getting to, again, provide direct services to people who need it.
Mm-hmm. Are most of our nonprofits, I'm sure it varies, but as far as your understanding, in a decent financial shape? Because on the one hand, these are strange times, and some people are in an economic, financially precarious situation. On the other hand, I know people are very generous around here. Mm-hmm. Maybe in trying times, they're giving more. Maybe there are more grants available, including grants from the Community Foundation.
Right.
Are nonprofits okay right now, or is it kind of a scary time?
Well, I think the uncertainty probably raises fear level from everyone. I don't think that there are, we haven't really heard anybody who's having to make really tough decisions right now. I mean, certainly everybody's being proactive, thinking long term. But, you know, like during this, the Community Foundation was able, with all of our partners, raised nearly $350,000 just for COVID work.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that really happened in a time when there was a lot of uncertainty. The market wasn't very strong. You know, people were at home. They didn't know what the economy was going to be looking like. But again, people rallied together. From our perspective, we still see charitable giving as high. You know, I guess we would say we haven't seen a dip in charitable giving, but that doesn't mean that that isn't what the future holds. And I think that nonprofits are spending some time right now really evaluating and taking stock of, okay, what does this look like? How would we do this? And then, you know, what does that really mean for our future? Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's a lot of summer fundraising activities that just won't be the same as they have been in the past.
Yeah.
But again, my observation is they're nonprofits who are adapting and really trying to figure out how to be able to do those types of events and how to be able to do those types of fundraisers, you know, to think about the future.
So kind of to hang a lantern on the turnout cycle, you're doing 60% for everyone mm-hmm. that got it last year right now, and right. the idea is 40% a little bit later in the year. Is that about
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. So when we sent the 60% out, we knew that those were dollars that just needed to get into organizations' hands. What we really wanted to do with that 40%, you know, as I talked about with the food example, there are some really creative and innovative things that have been happening. We actually wanted to purposely set aside resources that we could sort of take stock of what those things are and figure out how to, if they needed to be, sustain mm-hmm. In a way that better served the community. So that 40% is to, you know, really kind of check back in the last quarter of the year, make sure that, as you talked about, everything seems to be going right, but also use that to really catalyze and to incentivize the collaborations, to make permanent these collaborations that have served our community so well.
For nonprofits that didn't receive any funding last year, is there any opportunity for them to get funding?
Sure. So the Community Foundation has multiple grant opportunities available. You know, we and anyone who has programs, has projects, has ideas or is considering things that need to be funded yet still this year, we certainly encourage them to reach out and we'll try to figure out where best that request or that need might be filled. Absolutely.
And I also wanted to ask you about the Arts Alliance Illinois matching grant.
Yeah.
That sounds like an opportunity for, well, first tell us a little bit about it. And how it works.
Sure. So, you know, I was really involved with the Illinois COVID Relief Fund granting and making sure that the money that was raised through state philanthropy was distributed across the state, which was a great opportunity and, you know, a time where I learned a lot about how philanthropy works in other parts of the state. The arts also came together and raised what was about $5 million to spend within art organizations across the state specifically, which is wonderful. But the largest concentration of those art organizations is really up in, you know, the Cook and Collar counties.
Yeah.
So the Arts Alliance of Illinois made an opportunity available to regional community foundations like ours to really get a 50% return on our money. So for organizations locally that apply to the Arts Alliance of Illinois Relief Fund, the Community Foundation has a $20,000 match opportunity. So if we raise 40, Arts Alliance will give us 20, and then that'll be spent directly with the nonprofit organizations here that are serving arts that had revenue loss because of the COVID shutdown. So it's a great opportunity to leverage resources from really outside of our area.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we hope that the community responds really favorably to that.
So this is kind of a somewhat of a challenge to the community to find it in their pocketbook to support this. And it's a, like you said, a really nice return if you can get the money.
Yeah. So absolutely. You know, we just believe at the foundation that people are very committed and very passionate about things. And for those that are passionate about the arts, this is a way to take a dollar and turn it into a $1.50 directly for local art organizations. And in the Art Alliance of Illinois' definition of local is Knox County, Warren County, and actually Henderson County.
Oh, good.
So organizations in those three counties can apply through the Arts Alliance process. And then once that grant process or once that evaluation process happens, then actually Galesburg Community Foundation would cut checks to those that were awarded grants.
You know, and I'm fresh off yesterday talking to Tuesday Chetton from the Galesburg Civic Arts Center.
Sure.
And kind of some of the things that she talked about, you know, canceling fundraisers, canceling shows, kind of. Maybe talking to her, this is fresh in my mind, and of course this matching grant from the Arts Alliance Illinois, but is there kind of, in troubling times, I would think a lot of people would want to give to things that are seem more like directly impacting people in need, so is there a dip off in giving to arts organizations?
I would say probably. So the way I describe it, you know, it's a hierarchy of need, right?
Yeah.
You know, when times like what we've just experienced come, it's you want to make sure people are employed. You want to make sure people have food. You want to make sure people have water. Like, I mean, there's some of those basics.
It's understandable.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And once that, you know, and that's really what that Rapid Response Fund did. I mean, that those dollars have gone to organizations who have done all of that, who have made sure food has been delivered. Really, like, there's this really, really amazing story of a woman over in Monmouth who we, because of this, know that she had water turned on her house. Like, she could afford her rent, but she couldn't afford her water. And so a grant to the Jamison Community Center over there was, you know, enabled her to keep her water on. So we know that basics were met. Now that sort of basics I wouldn't say completely handled, because it's certainly something that we're watching. You can kind of go to that next layer of need, and culture and art and that, and those organizations provide need, because I think that, you know, the experience of art, you know, helps even define what it is that we've gone through. And so we just don't want those art organizations to sort of get completely lost in the shuffle. And I think that's why Art Alliance of Illinois is doing their match now, because they also recognize that there was need that needed to be filled first.
Yeah, you don't want all those, you know, cultural organizations to get wiped away in the process of helping people.
Right.
And I also saw Tiffany Springer, the foundation's director of grants and programs, says you're trying to allow for some events for learning and conversations with the nonprofits. Do you have any idea what that'll look like?
Yeah, so as part of that 40% that I mentioned earlier, that is really going to be, you know, the time that we would have been thinking about grants, the time that we would have, like, within our turnout process, been accepting grants and reviewing grants, we're sort of setting up a learning series around leadership, innovation, you know, taking stock of where it is that you are, just these opportunities for nonprofits to really be reflective about what we just went through, but also have an opportunity to plan for what the future looks like.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be releasing more information on that, and happy to come back and talk about that more. But our hope for that is really to get nonprofits to engage with these sessions that we're putting together and think about, you know, really what the future is, how, you know, what I have said to our team at the Community Foundation is, you know, we spent basically 12 weeks at home, and from my definition or from my perspective, really didn't miss much of a beat. You know, we still had gifts coming in. We were making grants. We were talking, you know, we were having appointments. It was just all in a different format.
Yeah.
And that's really what the nonprofits have done too. They didn't miss a beat. They still served their constituencies. They still fulfilled their mission, but they just had to do it a completely different way. I don't want people to forget or think that just racing back to what they knew is what they should be doing. We really need to embrace, what does this look like going forward? How can we take what we've experienced and learned and make our missions stronger and better and continue to look for partnerships and collaborations? So yeah, that education series will be, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to bring in, you know, top shelf educators to be able to deliver the content, and it'll definitely be something that anyone connected to a nonprofit, a board member, a staff member, would want to tune in for.
Well, excellent.